hello. Malanka here again with another episode from Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Often the seeker finds that even after he has won persistently his own personal battle, he is still to win it over and over again in a seemingly interminable war, because his inner existence has already been so much enlarged that not only it contains his own being with its well-defined needs and experiences, but is in solidarity with the being of others, because in himself he contains the universe. Nor is the seeker of the integral fulfillment permitted to solve too arbitrarily even the conflict of his own inner members. He has to harmonize deliberate knowledge with unquestioning faith. He must conciliate the gentle soul of love with the formidable need of power. The passivity of the soul that lives content in transcendent and calm has to be fused with the activity of the divine helper and the divine warrior. To him, as to all seekers of the spirit, there are offered for solution the oppositions of the reason, the clinging hold of the senses, the perturbations of the heart, the ambush of the desires, the clog of the physical body. But he has to deal in another fashion with their mutual and internal conflicts and their hindrance to his aim. For he must arrive at an infinitely more difficult perfection in the handling of all this rebel matter. Accepting them as instruments for the divine realization and manifestation, he has to convert their jangling discords, to enlighten their thick darknesses, to transfigure them separately and altogether, harmonizing them in themselves and with each other, integrally omitting no grain or strand or vibration, leaving no iota of imperfection anywhere. An exclusive concentration, or even a succession of concentrations of that kind, can be in his complex world only a temporary convenience. It has to be abandoned as soon as its utility is over. An all-inclusive concentration is the difficult achievement towards which he must labor. Concentration is indeed the first condition of any yoga, but it is an all-receiving concentration that is the very nature of the integral yoga. A separate, strong fixing of the thought, of the emotions, or of the will on a single idea, object, state, inner movement, or principle is no doubt a frequent need here also. But this is only a subsidiary, helpful process, a wide, massive opening, a harmonized concentration of the whole being in all its parts and through all its powers upon the one who is the all, is the larger action of this yoga, without which it cannot achieve its purpose. For it is the consciousness that rests in the one and that acts in the all to which we aspire. It is this that we seek to impose on every element of our being and on every movement of our nature. This wide and concentrated totality is the essential character of the sadhana, and its character must determine its practice. But even though the concentration of all the being on the divine is the character of the yoga, yet is our being too complex a thing to be taken up easily and at once. as if we were taking up the world in a pair of hands and set in its entirety to a single task. Man, in his effort at self-transcendence, has usually to seize on some one spring or some powerful leverage in the complicated machine that his nature is. The spring or lever he touches in preference to others and uses it to set the machine in motion towards the end that he has in view. Now, in his choice, it is always nature itself that should be his guide. But here it must be nature at her highest and widest in him, not at her lowest or in some limiting movement. In her lower vital activities, it is desire that nature takes as her most powerful leverage. But the distinct character of man is that he is a mental being, not merely a vital creature. As he can use his thinking mind and will to restrain and correct his life impulses, so too he can bring in the action of a still higher luminous mentality aided by the deeper soul in him, the psychic being, and supersede by these greater and purer motive powers the domination of the vital and sensational force that we call desire. He can entirely master or persuade it and offer it up for transformation to its divine master. This higher mentality, this deeper soul, the psychic element in man, are the two grappling hooks by which the divine can lay hold upon his nature. The higher mind in man is something other, loftier, purer, vaster, more powerful than the reason or logical intelligence. The animal is a vital and sensational being. Man, it is said, is distinguished from the animal by the possession of reason. But that is a very summary, a very imperfect and misleading account of the matter. For reason is only a particular and limited utilitarian an instrumental activity that proceeds from something much greater than itself, from a power that dwells in an ether more luminous, wider, illimitable. The true and ultimate, as distinguished from the immediate or intermediate importance of our observing, reasoning, inquiring, judging intelligence, is that it prepares the human being for the right reception and right action of a light from above, which must progressively replace in him the obscure light from below that guides the animal. The latter also has a rudimentary reason, a kind of thought, a soul, a will, and keen emotions. Even though less developed, its psychology is yet the same in kind as man's. But all these capacities in the animal are automatically moved and strictly limited, almost even constituted by the lower nervous being. All animal perceptions and sensibilities, activities, are ruled by nervous and vital instincts, cravings, needs, satisfactions, of which the nexus is the life impulse and vital desire. A man, too, is bound, but less bound, to this automatism of the vital nature. Man can bring an enlightened will, an enlightened thought, and enlightened emotions to the difficult work of his self-development. He can more and more subject to these more conscious and reflecting guides the inferior function of desire. In proportion as he can thus master and enlighten his lower self, he is man and no longer an animal. When he can begin to replace desire all together by a still greater enlightened thought and sight and will, in touch with the infinite, consciously subject to a diviner will than his own, and linked to a more universal and transcendent knowledge, he has commenced the ascent towards the Superman. He is on his upward march towards the divine. It's then in the highest mind of thought and light and will, or it is in the inner heart of deepest feeling and emotion, that we must first center our consciousness. In either of them, or if we're capable in both together, and use that as our leverage to lift the nature wholly towards the divine. The concentration of an enlightened thought, will and heart, turned in unison towards one vast goal of our knowledge, one luminous and infinite source of our action, one imperishable object of our emotion, is the starting point of the yoga. There will we pause for today. Thank you for tuning in to Auroville Radio and listening to Sri Aurobindo's Synthesis of Yoga. Marlenka signing off.
This is Auroville Radio, voices from the City of Dome.